Well, I'm excited about you. I'm excited about the Lord this morning. And man, I've got a lot to share, so we want to get with it. You need anything from me? The kids need to be dismissed. All right, this is a great time. There she is, live and living color. Everybody follow Tanya. All right, thank you, team. Don't worry, parents, we'll give them back and maybe plus one. So you'll be very, very blessed on the way out. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful, Pastor. That was terrific. Man, that'll preach over and over again. Wow, that's good. A lot of grace in there. A lot of truth. It's just powerful. And, you know, one of the most important things about the Jesus life is getting to practice it. And the Bible says this, that physical exercise availeth little, spiritual exercise availeth much. And the spiritual exercise, like communion or prayer, your time in the Lord, your time with the Word, all of that is not necessarily to get something from God, because sometimes people do that. You know, we have a kind of a work mindset. But I want to tell you what it is. More than anything else, it's positioning your heart to receive. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, that makes a heaven of a lot of difference in your journey. And today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about walking in victory. And I know that that term's used a lot. And sometimes it's just easy to put that on a sermon, because just about all of them point to Jesus. And let me just say this, Jesus is your victory. Amen. We have victory not because of your brains or your bank account, not because of your gifting or all that you've done in the past. We have victory because of Jesus. He is our victory. And what's beautiful about the victory that Jesus won for us is that it's not, he wants it to be implemented in our life, in this journey, in the now. I know that it's easy for us to talk about celebrating the victory in heaven. And yes, what a day that'll be. But he's got life for you here, victory life here. And so I'm excited to share this with you. One of the kind of themes that keeps coming up in my life, and it shows up in preaching too, is that he's designed us to walk in victory. And a big part of the victory life that we get to experience has to do with our worship of him. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about worship, because it needs to be personal and it needs to be intimate. If you're waiting on Matthew or our praise team, and thank God for our praise team. I'm telling you, I'm in places where I just like to take the whole team with me. And not every place has what we get to enjoy. I'm very, very thankful, and I know you are too, and it's healthy for you to express it. This is a season of thanksgiving, and so it's great for you to love on the Lord by giving thanks to people around you that the Lord uses to bless your life. Now, not only is this the season, we get to practice this season all year long. And so it's great to practice thanksgiving. That's a way of life for us. And it's honoring the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that not only is it worship, but it's also war. That we do live on a battlefield. And it's important for us to know our authority in Christ that he's given us. Because we operate by his authority to experience not only personal victory in our life, but also the victory in people around us. You see, you're not an island. We're more connected than you think we are. We are actually together the bride of Christ. And so I'm telling you, it's a great honor to be here at Freedom Life and to be a part of the body of Christ that we are. But I want to tell you, it's important that we know that we're connected, not only for victory in our life, but in other people's lives around you. You affect other people. Your walk affects other people. And so not only is it for those in the body of Christ, but those that are outside the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, I'm going to share something with you today that I hope that you'll catch, because the Lord has actually got us here, not only to bring him honor and glory, not only to experience his life in our life and to experience the beautiful connecting that we get in the body of Christ through love life and through growing in the word together. How beautiful it is to be family. Amen. But also, we're here as rescue rangers for those that don't know him. So what a joy and privilege that we have, and we have the authority to go out in darkness and rescue. We're rescue rangers, to go rescue people that don't know him. Now, you know, I know it's getting darker and darker out there, but I want to tell you, the darker it gets out there, the brighter the glory of Jesus is in your life. And so, darker and darker out there, okay, don't park there. Look at the brighter and brighter that the Lord is revealing his glory through the church, through your life. And so that's exciting because we get to be a part of the win, the kingdom win. And we are here to win. And so that's exciting too. And so not only do we get to practice our walk with Jesus, our worship, but we get to practice the authority that the Lord's given us, not only for our life, but for others. But there's also more. And we'll get to that. And I'm trying to save that for you. But there's more that we get to enjoy. And so I'm excited to share with you. Let's kind of dive deep into the Word. I got a lot of scriptures. If you got your notes, I'm going to go as far as I can. And so you help me by witnessing to the preaching and being awake. If you close your eyes to meditate too long, I'm going to bring the train back around. Okay. So, no, I appreciate you and I love you. And so I'm excited about you. We minister to pastors, and there was a pastor that I was loving on recently on a ministry tour, and they had experienced a moral failure in their life in the past. And as a result of that, they had created so many rules and regulations around them. We call them fence laws. Around them to keep them from ever getting near anything like that again. Now, I want to tell you something. It's not the fences that are going to keep you walking in victory. It's not the rules and regulations. I want to be real honest with you. It has to do with your walk with the Lord. For example, they questioned me. You know, it's real, real dangerous for you to be out here on the road without your wife. I said, let me be clear. I prefer my wife to be with me on the road. See, I'm going to enjoy my journey. But I want to tell you, when she's with me, that enjoyment goes way up there. We have a lot of fun and we have a blast. But what I tried to explain to him was this. It's not where my wife is geographically. Because she's 5 or 6 states away right now. What I'm telling you is, it's the position that she has in my heart that's the greatest protection. And it's hard for me to say this without tuning up, but you know I cry when I preach, so you know to put up with that. But it goes like this, and this is what I told him. I said, it's my privilege to convince this beautiful blonde over here that if there was a room with 1,000 women in it, that I have eyes for her. And that I only have room in my heart for her. Now I want to tell you, it's my joy and my privilege to convince her of that. And you don't just say that when you get married. And say like some people might think, well, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. No, it's not like that. It's a continual life walk. Love walk. And I want to tell you, it's very, very important for the beautiful blonde and I to have times of intimacy where we enjoy each other to the max. I got one amen out of that. But it's okay because that's what God created. And it's part of the mystery between the husband and wife and the church and Jesus. And so I'm just telling you this. While I was telling him that it's the place of high esteem that she has in my heart, that's the greater protection. And I want to tell you, as I'm sharing this with him, the Holy Spirit's sharing with me, what's true about our wives is true with the Lord. We're the bride of Christ. I want to tell you what enables us and empowers us to walk the life of victory is the high position of esteem that we give Jesus. Now, just as with your mate, it's important to have time of overflow love. It's very, very important with the Lord. So you got to catch this. It's very, very important with the Lord that you have times of intimacy with the Lord that's overflow. I want to say it like this, where it's overwhelming. As a matter of fact, that's a great description of baptism in Him, is to be overwhelmed by Him. And I want to tell you, it's muy importante. It's so important, because if you try to live your life with your mate without intimacy of heart, intimacy of emotion, intimacy physically, then I want to tell you, you're going to have a lower form of life than what He designed you for. Do you understand that? In the same way, with your walk with the Lord, I know it's possible, because thousands do it, for you to go through the motions with the right regulations, fences, walls, to just do the stuff and not do the bad and try your best. It's possible for you to try to live the Christian life, but be absolutely missing on the higher level of abundant life, because we're not experiencing what He designed us for. Pastor, what did He design us for? I know. Wait. Serve, serve, serve. No. The highest priority with the Lord is not your serving. It's your fellowship. It's your intimacy with Him. I want to tell you what He designed you for. And if you capture this, it'll change the joy in your journey. What He designed you for is for a love life between you and Him. That's His highest priority. Not your serving, your being with Him. Now, I want to tell you, it's easy in busy world, busy life, to go a number of days, a number of weeks, and you haven't experienced a time of heart to heart, emotion to emotion, physical to physical, intimacy with your mate. I'm just going to confess to you, there's times that we have to look at the calendar and say, you know what, we haven't had a Sabbath together in weeks. We're marking this date on the calendar. We're setting it aside. It's just me and you, babe. And we're not going to let anything come in between that day. We're going to just practice enjoying one another. No pressure. Just enjoying one another. And I want to tell you, I'm asking you this because I want the Holy Spirit to make this personal to you. When is the last time that you've taken time to just really enjoy you and the lover of your soul, Jesus Christ? When's the last time that you've had uninterrupted time? I'm not talking about your morning devo where you give them 5 minutes. Lord, whatever you're wanting to say, you better hurry up because I got to go in 5 minutes. Or you better say it through this one scripture because this is my devo of the day. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a time where you and the Lord have a date, and you give Him your entire focus, and you practice letting Him love on you. I'll tell you what we're going to call it: worship. He's designed you for worship. Wait, Brother Tim, there's entire books written on how He can bless us and the benefits and what all we get out of it. And okay, that's all true. There's a lot of benefits for me being married to the beautiful blonde. There's a lot of benefits. But I want to tell you something. When you focus on what's best for you, do you understand you can miss? I'm announcing to you that if your Christian walk is based on how you can be blessed, and that's your only vision, that's your only focus, not only can you dilute the Word of God and the promises of God, but you can pollute them. The Word of God is never designed for you to have the focus on you. Amen. There's a lot of Christianity is built on this. But I'm announcing to you, this is the priority. If you put your focus on Jesus and make it about him, hey, Bible's clear, and it goes like this. We were created for his pleasure. The whole world is created for his pleasure. Wait a minute. Your number one ministry is to bring him honor and glory. You see, let's make it about him and watch what happens in your journey. There's a lot of byproduct that will absolutely rise to the surface in your life that you've heard about, you've thought about, other people have testified about, but it'll be personal experience in your life when he has that position of esteeming, honor, and glorifying in your life. It's a whole lot that he can do with you having the right priority focus. You make it about him, and you'll see what all he does for you. Is that too much? Okay. Well, I'm just going to say to you what I said to this guy. I said, look, because the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I turned around and said to him about the Lord, and it seemed to have great impact. Because when the Lord has the place of esteem in my life, let me announce something to you. Temptation's weak. I want to announce something to you. It's a whole lot easier to hear the whisper of his voice when I'm in connection with him, when I'm being overwhelmed by him. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. When I make it about him, I want to tell you, there's an abundant life that becomes manifested in my life, and I don't make it happen. He does it. So, I'm telling this guy, look, man, when she has the place of esteem in my heart, temptation's weak. Now, look, I don't trust my flesh. Okay? There are a lot of things in Scripture that we're to resist, that we're to take authority over. There's a few things that he says, flee from. Okay? And look, you say, well, that sounds like a sissy. No, Paul, he had Paul flee sometimes. He had Paul go to jail sometimes. As a matter of fact, I said this the other day, and people got a kick out of it, that whenever Paul went to a city, he went by the jail first. He said, pick me out a room, I'll be back. Okay. I try to be funny sometimes, but there's some truth in that. All right, let's look at this scripture, Psalm 95, 6, and the first part of 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Now, I want to tell you something. That has got to be a continual position in our heart about the bowing down. I used to bow down to worship the Lord a lot. I don't do that as much anymore because it's an athletic event for me to get back up. But let's look at what it says, and you got to capture this. You got to see this in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to make this personal to you. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Kneel before him. Bow down our heart before him. But by all means, come to him and worship him. Worship him. Don't you dare wait on Matthew and the praise team to get you cranked up to worship. Please worship while you're here. But I want to tell you something. If you don't have time to worship him, I mean really worship him, adore him, intimacy with him during the week, then I want to tell you, if the only time you practice worship is on Sunday, you're going to be weak. Worship him. Why? Because he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture. I want to tell you, when you meditate on that, it says this, we are taken care of. We belong to him, not to ourselves. We belong to him. Hey, again, it's not about you, it's about him. Wow. What revelation we get when that becomes evident in our life, when we focus on that. And we are the sheep of his hand. And let me tell you about being the sheep of his hand. It means that he He cares. He gives personal care. If you're a sheep of his hand, he gives personal care. He has his hand on you. Aren't you glad that the Lord has his hand on you? Well, I want to tell you, it made a difference in this brother's life when I shared with him that this, in the same way we make the Lord, we let the Lord have that position of esteem, of intimacy in our life. And that intimacy brings us to a position to receive from the Lord. It's easy to receive when you're being overwhelmed by Him. Now, I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about a position in your heart. We're going to talk about emotion in just a minute because it is included. And so the sheep of His hand means this, that we have personal touch from the Lord. Now, when I was a teen, and I think I've only shared this one or two times, I think I've shared it here once. When I was a teenager, one night I was just spending time with the Lord at night in my room. And I want to tell you, the Lord manifested to me a glimpse of His glory. Now, I've read about people seeing the glory of the Lord in Scripture, and I can't say it was at that level. I just say it was a glimpse. It was probably all I could handle. Because I want to tell you something. When the Lord manifested His glory to me, and it was a dark room, but there was light in the room. Now, I'm not too shocked about that, because I even studied in Scripture a few weeks ago that in the Holy of Holies, there's no lighting. There are no candles. But in the Holy of Holies, there was light. Because it was the Shekinah glory of God. He's the light. Now, I know this is okay with you about heaven, but in heaven, there's continual light. There is no darkness in heaven. Hey, we won't have to waste time with naps, sleeping. What a blast, because Jesus is the light. Well, it's the same thing. I want to tell you, He can manifest light in your life. And the presence of the Lord was so strong that night. And I've tried to explain this. Words are weak, but I had this sensation that I couldn't even breathe loud. I couldn't move. And I was on my face before the Lord, but I didn't even want to breathe loud. Have you ever been in a situation where, I don't know, maybe it was a fear of a wrong kind where you were scared to move or speak or breathe loud? You were kind of frozen? Well, I want to tell you, this was a good kind of awe before the Lord, but I didn't want to move. I was overwhelmed in His presence. Now, I can't make too much of it for you, but I know what it did for me. Because even to this very day, and this was when I was a teenager, to this very day, I have this deep awe of reverence for Him. Because I want to tell you, in His holiness, He showed me what I was not, but what He was for me. And I want to tell you something. It so literally changed my life, I've never gotten over it. But that's why that I'm telling you that, and I'm sure you've probably heard teaching about fear of the Lord or being afraid of God. Is the way some people put the emphasis to it. And I'm just going to be real clear with you. I do believe, you've heard me say it, I do believe in a reverential awe of God. Amen. But it was never without His love. Yeah. And so I'm announcing to you that any kind of teaching that I hear or see that promotes the idea that God wants you afraid of Him, I turn it off. Okay? I don't see that. I don't believe that. I believe that's wrong. We need to see through the new covenant, we need to see through the cross that Pastor Tony talked about in communion. And when you do, you'll see it different, because I'm announcing to you that your Father delights in having you close to Him. He didn't design this Christian walk with you walking in a distance from Him. That's a lie, and it's wrong. That's not God's heart. He wants you close to him. He welcomes us to dwell in his secret place, to be so close to him that we know that we're under his shadow. Now, if you're in the shadow, you got to be close. And so that's what he describes that his heart is for you. It's to have you close, intimate, under his shadow. All of these are pictures of intimacy. Why? Because he's relating to us. This is his heartbeat for you. This is what he wants. Now, years ago, it was back when I know it don't look like it. Okay, I tell people I played ball at one time to say, well, I look like a football now, but, you know, it's hard to guess it. At one time, I was taking some martial arts, and there was a kickboxer named Butch, and he was a professional kickboxer, and he had a number of studios at one time, and he just had a heart for me. I don't know how to explain it, but it was just the favor of the Lord. He was drawn to me. And the next thing you know, we're spending some time together, and he's giving me some personal training, which I needed. But at the same time, it gave me opportunity to speak into his life. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, bring honor and glory to Jesus. Make it about Jesus. Whether you eat or drink or whatever, kickboxing or whatever you do, bring honor and glory to God. Well, one of the ways to do that is to open your big mouth and speak his name. Talk about Jesus. Be a big mouth for Jesus under his guidance. And it's good. But I want to tell you, Butch was so drawn, and I'm going to announce to you, he was a Buddhist. But he wanted to hear me talk about the Lord. And he stopped me one day, and we sat down and had a visit, and he said, I got to tell you something that just don't make sense to me. And he said, it's the reason I'm a Buddhist and not a Christian. I said, lay it on me. He said, I don't understand when I look in your Bible, and it talks about fear God. He said, I can't love anybody I'm afraid of. And I said, welcome to the club. That's true for everybody. I said, you have a misinterpretation of that word fear. When you go back and look at the same scripture, and when you see fear of God, we're looking through the cross, and you know what you see? Not being afraid of God, it means to love him with an intense, all-out love. It means to love him. It means to worship him. He said, how do you know something like that? I said, because I know the author. If you know the author, you can see what he's saying. You can understand it better. And so I'm telling you that to fear the Lord in the right definition is to love him and is to worship him intensely with all that you got. And he said, well, that really changes the scripture. I said, yeah. I said, if you read it that way, it's going to give you a good opinion of God instead of a bad opinion. Now, I want to tell you something that's very, very important for all of our journey is to keep a good opinion of God. When things happen that you don't understand, keep a good opinion of God. All right? People out there, churches, sometimes have a wrong opinion of God. Then I want to tell you, part of our purpose here at Freedom Life is to minister reconciliation of people to God. And part of that is to change their mind about God so that they have a good opinion of God. All right? And so it goes like this. Any relationship, whether it's toward God or toward people, fear and intimacy cannot coexist. If you're afraid of God today, you won't be able to believe him for protection. I met with somebody this week and they told me, they said, I'm in a mess like I'm at. I'm having all these trouble because God's mad at me. I said, no, he's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. There's a big difference. Do you see that? But this person was convinced that they were being punished by God. I said, no, I'm not saying you hadn't made some wrong choices, because you have made some wrong choices. But I want to tell you, God is not punishing you. He's drawing you. Yeah. That's why it's so important for you to hear messages, and you get messages here, Pastor Tony or TNT preaching or whoever's preaching, it's not the man, it's the message, but you hear messages that present Jesus in the right light. That you hear messages of grace. Because grace, it's important for you to be strong and established in grace. Because the level of this life will come against you and challenge that. And if you believe a lie that God's mad at you or God's punishing you, you won't run to Him for help. You'll run away from Him. That's why there's a lot of people that are not in church today. Look at Hebrews. Paul writes this in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Somebody say, come running. That's what he's presenting. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we might receive mercy for our failures. I want to tell you, you don't go out as a believer with a plan to do wrong. But when you do wrong, there's been a way made for you. Because the blood of Jesus, Tony covered it in communion. Way to go, Pastor. That you know what? You are forgiven once and for all, past, present, future. And I want to tell you, it's so exciting that His grace has made a way for us. You find grace, look at this, to help in good time. Somebody say good timing. Good timing. I know a lot of times we think the Lord is late. But He's the God of timing. And I want to tell you, that's why we're encouraged that, you know what? Keep your hope on the Lord. Hey, you don't look to the south or the east or the west. Bible says don't do that. But it does say help comes from the north, comes from the mountain of the Lord. And so you look to the Lord and you're patiently waiting, persevering, waiting for the Lord's rescue because His help is good timing. Look at what it says. Amplified brings it out. Appropriate help, well-timed help. This is on God's timing. It may not be on your calendar, but it's God's calendar. Coming just when we need it. Let's be honest. You don't even know your own self well enough to know where the finish line is. Let me give you some help on this. Because of the cross, the finish line for us is the starting line. Because He said, it's finished. I've done it all. Now, you come. Get in on the race. So we get to start at the finish line. Now, I want to tell you, that speaks of victory for us. But it also speaks that it's of Him. This is a great picture of the Ark of the Covenant. God's throne of grace. I don't have time to go there, but let me say this. Because of our Lord's blood has been shed on the mercy seat. Today, everyone here that knows Christ can come boldly into His presence without any sense of inferiority, without any shame, blame. I know that there's places in pulpits that preach the shame, blame in order to get people to repent. I want to tell you, we want to present the goodness of God because it's the goodness of God that draws a person to repentance. If they're responding out of guilt and condemnation, I want to tell you, they can come to Jesus, but I want to tell you what you feel ashamed about, what you feel condemned about, wait a minute, you repeat. I'm trying to let that set in a little bit. But I want to tell you what you realize that you're free from, you can walk in. And so that's the difference. And so Jesus, I want to tell you how He defined the fear of the Lord. Now, I love this about the Lord. And anytime, you're reading through the words of Jesus and you read a phrase of Jesus that looks like Scripture, I want to tell you, look it up. Because I've gotten some great insight about this because Jesus is the Word. And it's all right for Jesus to translate the Word into what His heart means. Yep. Woo! Man, that's good. Okay, you're talking about a commentator. Let Jesus define the Word. Let the Holy Spirit show you what He's saying. And He does this, and I want to show you, we see it, He defined the fear of the Lord as worship of the Lord. And so this ought to put this to rest in your life. I hope it does. And this was during the wilderness temptation. Jesus responded to the devil by saying in Matthew 4, verse 10, Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan." Now, I want to tell you, that's a great word. I wonder what would happen in our life if we would take the Word of God to be the Word of God, take Jesus for being our victory that He won for us, and simply resist the enemy. The Bible says if you will resist him, he will flee. And so I wonder how many situations in our families, in our lives, hey, whether it be in our business or whatever, that we put up with, that we absolutely, by the authority of Jesus, could say, take a hike and be gone. Wait a minute. This is what Jesus did. He said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Now, the Lord was quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. See, this is great because the Lord gives us the right on, spot on insight of what he means by this. You shall, Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "You shall reverently fear the Lord your God and serve him and swear by his name, his presence." And the Lord substituted, is it all right for Jesus to do this? Yes, it is. He's the Word. Okay, he's trying to show us something. He substituted the word fear with the word worship. Big difference. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, Jesus was trying to show us how to accurately understand the fear of the Lord. Because, hey, he is new covenant. It has nothing to do with being afraid of the Lord, but it has everything to do with coming into his presence with boldness and worshiping him. Wow. That's something all of us can do. That's something we are to do. This is part of our privilege. It's always protocol. Hey, we don't have to live in fear, my friend. We can be like Caleb and follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And we can worship his wonderful name. Hey, look, I've told people over the years, hey, take the Psalms and make them personal. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us room to do this. Don't throw a Bible at me that you're changing the word. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit gives us some room to personalize the Word of God. But I've told people, man, how beautiful it is to take one of the Psalms and make it you. I mean, make it personal. And you put it in your Texas language. And honor the Lord and worship the Lord and praise the Lord. I want to tell you, even though I've told people to do this for years, man, I've been on Psalm 91 for years. You know I have. But I want to tell you something. As of this summer, I started taking Psalm 91 and using it as a worship experience with the Lord. Hey, you begin to worship the Lord with the truth of his word of who he is. And I want to tell you, you can have some intimate overflow, overwhelming times of the Lord. Receive great revelation just by taking the Word of God. He loves His Word. Amen. Worship Him with His Word. Wow. That is just so powerful. It's been so personal, so powerful. When you worship Jesus, this is truth. All your fears fade away. Now, I want to tell you something. You can't be on the disturbed channel and the worship channel at the same time. It's okay to change gears. It's right to change gears. Okay, sometimes our emotions go the wrong way. Our emotions can keep you away from the Lord. It's hard to hear the whisper of His voice when your emotions are screaming loud. But I want to tell you, and this is truth, I know we're talking about feelings. I'm going to talk some more about it in a minute. But I want to tell you, it's truth that you can put the brakes on your emotions and you can start having godly thoughts from the Word of God, thanksgiving. You can go into worship because I want to tell you, godly thoughts will produce godly emotions. Wow. Anti-God thoughts will produce anti-God emotions. I'm telling you, this is something that we can participate in. But I want to tell you, when you worship your Savior, His spirit of wisdom and counsel will guide you with rivers of peace. You remember peace? We covered Shalom peace last week. Man, that's our birthright. That's who He is. And I want to tell you, and there's an interesting verse, and I just got to mention this and run on. But in Acts 13, 2, the leaders of the Antioch church, it says this. It's a great term. It says they were ministering to the Lord. Man, that's good. How do you do that? How do you minister to the Lord? Well, another version makes it pretty clear. They were worshiping the Lord. I'm announcing to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your beloved one, the lover of your soul, he loves for you to worship him. It blesses him. They bless the Lord. Why? How? They ministered to the Lord. How? But they worshiped him. And I want to tell you, there's nothing greater than you can do before you worship. Okay? And so, man, this is right on target. This is for us. And I'm going to say this to you, and this is a little bit of an explanation that I want to make clear to you, but it goes like this. You have an emotional cup on the inside of you because God did create you with emotions. I know we preach against emotions sometimes because the normal human life is to let their emotions rule. They're ruled by their emotions. Well, if you live that kind of life, your spiritual life's going to be like one of the roller coasters at Six Flags. Okay, we can't let emotions rule. They're supposed to be, you've heard me say it, they're supposed to be the caboose, not the engine, right? But I want to tell you, he created you with emotions. Now, this I'm going to have to say this is Tim talk, because there'll be a number of people that don't agree with me on this, and it's just okay. But I'm going to share with you this. God created that emotional cup for you to fill that cup with godly emotions. Now, if your cup, and this happens in our journey sometime, our cup is filled up with memories and hurts and wounds that we haven't gotten to Jesus yet. And I want to tell you, that cup can be full of that. And that's why that you see people, some little event will take place in their life and they just throw up over everything. Yes. Hey, what's happening there is that the emotional cup has just been spilt. And it was something so small, and you're backing up saying, why did they have that kind of reaction to something so small? It's because their emotional cup was already full of junk. Right. Now, here's the beauty of it. You can begin to practice. It's called transformation. It's called changing from the inside out. It's called renewing the mind. I want to tell you what Jesus will do for you. He will help you as you focus on him, as you practice worship as a way of life, as you practice intimacy with him, as you're in the Word, guess what he'll do? He'll begin to fill up your emotional cup with godly thoughts that produce godly emotions. So, when something comes along to disrupt your cup, trash don't come out. Anger and bitterness don't come flying out. You know what comes out? Godly emotions. You say, that doesn't sound real. Let's practice it. And let's watch what the Lord will do in our life. Because we've got testimonies of people whose emotional balance have been restored and renewed. Because that's what Jesus can do. Amen. Okay. And so it's important for you to open up your heart to him. Then we tell people, come to the Word. Come into the presence of Jesus. Come to church. With an open mind, open heart, open hand. Okay? If you're clenching onto something that's troubled you that week, I want to tell you, you can come and give it to Jesus because that's an important thing to do. But you don't have to wait till Sunday. Because he said, bring it to me. He's open Monday through Saturday. I'm telling you, he wants you to bring it to him so that he can take it. It's called an exchange. You bring the junk to him, and he gives you kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. Hey, you can't receive righteousness without understanding how much he loves you, because it was his love that paid for the gift of righteousness. And so it's love, joy, and peace of Jesus. And I want to tell you, when that happens, that has a way of setting you free in a way that man can't. This is why that we can practice coming to our Father. Because Jesus has paid the price of everything wrong. And He gives us the gift of His rightness. It's a gift. It's not something we earn or deserve. He gives us His gift of rightness. And I want to tell you, the Bible talks about us being forgiven of all of our sins. Now, not only are we forgiven for the very act of it, we are also forgiven of the consequences. Now, I'm not saying that you can make a wrong decision and not have to follow the consequences of your decision. That operates in this life. It's called sowing and reaping. But I want to tell you something about Jesus, how powerful He is. When you do wrong, and you do, but when you do wrong, there's a place of mercy. And when you come and surrender it to the Lord, when you surrender it to the Lord, when you yield it to the Lord, when you put the Lord first, I want to tell you something. His grace can redeem what the enemy has stolen. Jesus is the only one that can do that. Man can't do that for you. But I'm telling you, Jesus can. And when you surrender it to Him, He begins to work behind the scenes to restore what the enemy has stolen. Is that your Jesus? Yes. That's how beautiful He is. How beautiful is the Lord. And that's why that we can say boldly, Father, I come and I worship You. Lord, I bow down before You without shame and without fear. I get to come running to You. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me. Because now I can come running boldly before the throne of grace. And you know what happens when we do that? We are receivers, my friend. We're not achievers. We're receivers of His grace and His mercy. You know what? We get to receive His favor. Now, I want to tell you, favor is powerful. That's what grace is. He'll give you favor. Hey, you may be in a job situation where, you know, you're believing for a raise or you're believing for advancement. Then I want to tell you something. There may be people more qualified. There may be people there around you that have more brains or more skills. But I want to tell you what you have that a normal human does not. You have the favor of God. And I want to tell you what, you can trust Him for His favor. And He loves to manifest Himself to you. Now, this is the beauty of love life with the Lord, is that I'm just going to say this real quick, and I got to stop. But it goes like this. When you received Christ, you received Him placing you in the secret place. You received, by His blood, the gift of rightness, you being in the protected place of the Lord. Under His shadow, under His wings, that's what Jesus did for you. Now, I want to tell you, when you practice worship, when you practice esteeming Him, when you practice putting Him in the right place in your heart, then I want to tell you that secret place is manifested in your life. It's one thing for it to be true. It's one thing for you to personally know it, personally receive it, personally acknowledge it, to deem it so in your life. But I want to tell you the beauty of it, because this is something only the Lord can do. He will manifest His divine protection in your life to the place where you'll go, wow, that was the Lord. He'll manifest His favor in your life to such a place that you'll say, wow, that's the goodness of God chasing me down. Hey, I want to tell you, Jesus is your healer. He's your provider. I want to tell you, Jesus is your personal shepherd. And I want to tell you, He wants to personally give TLC to your life. And I want to tell you, when we practice just receiving who He is, that's not working. I want to tell you what that is. That's resting. And I want to tell you the beauty about resting is that, you know what? You're not working to make it happen. You're being at peace and you're practicing believing to just receive what He already is. Is that too much for you?
No.
Well, I want to tell you, we get the opportunity to experientially practice his love life. We get the opportunity to experientially get to know him deeper and deeper and better and better. This is life that he's called you to. Now, when we practice this, he's free to manifest himself in you and through you and all around you. That's kingdom life being multiplied around us. Where that, yes, you need to invite people to church. I'm telling you, Pastor D will be here live and living color next week. I want to tell you, you want to be here for that message. But I want to tell you something. You won't have to beg them to come, because when you even mention it, the Lord's going to give you favor. And they'll say, you know what? I usually don't go, don't want to go. There's something in me that wants to go be with them. That's divine favor. And so he'll go before you and he'll prepare the way. And you know what? You bring people that need Jesus. Now look, they're everywhere. There was a war in this country. And years ago, there was a guy that showed up for battle. And he was so far away from even the conflict that he didn't even know about it until it had been going on for a long time. This is supposed to be a true story. But he showed up with his squirrel gun and said, what am I supposed to do? And they said, well, we're under attack right now. We'll have to train you later. And so, but what happened was he kind of disappeared. And everybody thought, well, he ran back home. He got killed. You know, something happened. We didn't even get to train him. And he shows up in a little bit. And he's got a number of prisoners behind him. And he shows up. He says, hey, guys, the woods are full of them. Go get you some. Now, I want to tell you something. He might not have been trained, but he had the right mindset. Yeah. I want to tell you something. God's called you to victory. Hey, he didn't pay the price and sacrifice for you to be a loser. He paid the price for your victory, because he is your victory. And the victory is not just, I know we can talk about steps and principles, that's okay. But it's not about doing this or doing that or not doing this, not doing that. It's by knowing him. It's by letting him be himself in you. Was that too much? I want to tell you, you can't ever get too spiritual that you don't practice getting to first base. And that's first base for me and you. I know we talk about wanting to score home runs, touchdowns, that's okay. But first base, you can never skip. First base is you fulfilling your purpose of worship. And so I'm telling you, let's spend time, because he's worthy of our worship. Remember these scriptures we covered in Psalm. Let's come down. Let's spend with him. Let's bow down before him. Let's receive of him. Would you bow your heads and let me pray for you? And let's just seek the Lord for a moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to make this personal to us, because he can do it in a way that a preacher cannot. Almighty Father, we love you. Thank you that you're a personal Father. Thank you that you've designed us for so much on this earth. But Lord, thank you that there's nothing more important than for us to bring you glory. There's nothing more important than for us to worship you, to let you love on us, and for us to love you back. And so, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, come. Open up our eyes to have personal revelation of how that you designed us to be lovers, that you are the beloved one, the beauty of our Lord, that you love us completely, continually, in an ever-living way. You love us continually. Lord, cause us to have encounters with you that will be overwhelming, that we get to experience you and your love life in deeper and deeper ways, that we might relate to this world how loved we are. Thank you, Lord, that it's not about our love for you, it's about your love for us. Lord, we just receive and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.